opinion that our authority wasn't broad enough. It didn't include that particular area that we've tried to address through House Bill 2240. Now, we have some other abilities, setting aside the private haulers and pumpers now for a moment. We have other abilities to to take action on the broader municipal facilities, because we have those facilities under a permit. And written into that permit can be conditions on handling sludge. And therefore, we have that as the ultimate kicker on a municipal treatment plant. And that will get the attention, more often than not, of any operator. But in this particular area that we wanted to address with 2240, no, we did not feel we had sufficient authority, nor did the Attorney General to take any action. I just might, in response to a question that Senator Stargovich raised just a moment ago, I was just briefly going through the material here, and on the frequency of analysis for the heavy metals, it appears we've got a variety here ranging from, in the most frequent instance of weekly monitoring, this was in the city of Portland, to in the least frequent was, I believe, quarterly. And there was a range in between there, but that was a brief review through the material that was offered to it.
Stan, one more question pertaining to 2240 itself. Why did you take industrial process waste out?
Mr. Chairman, that was taken out over on the House side, and we felt that through the permit process and the permits that we have on the industrial facilities, that we had sufficient regulatory capacity there to achieve our desired end result. A similar kicker with an industrial permit as with a municipal permit. If the materials applied in such a way that we feel violates our standards or jeopardizes public health or the environment, we could take action on that permit, which would leave the permit holder in a difficult, if not impossible, position of disposing of sludge. That's a position that the industrial process cannot find itself in, so we felt that that's a good enforcement mechanism on that side.
You feel that industrial process waste do need to be regulated to some extent?
Yes.
Okay. So wouldn't just leaving that language in just clarify your authority?
Mr. Chairman, hard question to answer whether that gives us anything we don't already have or whether it just is more of a restatement.
What is the damage that's done? What's the downside of keeping it in?
Mr. Chairman, I can't think of any off the top of my head. I think it's a restatement of what we have. It's probably, our view was it wasn't necessary, and we didn't want to cause any undue anguish on the part of people looking at the bill, thinking that they were going to receive some new regulatory or find us in a new regulatory role that they hadn't seen us in the past.
Do you routinely allow the industrial process waste to be used for land application?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Depends on what the waste is.
Let's eliminate agriculture waste and cannery waste.
Then the answer is no.
I guess, Mom, I'd like to respond just a minute to Senator Kitzhaber and say that I think leaving it in there, whether it's true or not, seems to say that we're encouraging industrial process waste to be spread in sludge on land applications, and I don't want, that's why I guess I'd want to leave it out. And if you have the existing authority to allow canning it, you know, the agricultural products application to be used now, and you were doing it, then that's where I would see us clarifying that.
Any other questions for the DEQ?
Could you give an idea of, suppose you detect cadmium, and you the object is to trap, chelate, whatever the word is, the cadmium out. How low can you get? It depends on each different substance, I guess. But what kinds of concentrations are we talking about? How many? Are we down to tens of parts per million, hundreds of parts per million?
Mr. Chairman, I don't think I can...
Technical advisor on that.
Yeah. Let's see if I can find someone else. I'm not sure that I can give you the answer to that question. Let me answer it this way. The method we use to look at metals thus far is that given a concentration of metals, whatever it may be, we calculate how they may relate to some ultimate capacity of the land. It happens that cadmium is a very sensitive one because that's one of the metals that can accumulate in certain plants without any evidence of plant toxicity as a safeguard, for example, before it might enter the food chain. So accordingly, if we were to see a high cadmium level in the sludge, and when I say high, I mean small, but high by the standard, we would first look at whether the sludge application rate could be reduced. If the answer is yes, it can, but by so doing, you no longer supply the nitrogen requirement of the crop, then more than likely that sludge will not be used for agricultural use. Now, regarding treatment, I would imagine there are ways to pre-treat for metals in general. Well, I know that there are, but to give you numbers that one could reach would be very difficult. Research would have to be done. It is not easy to treat for metals.
But you...
In the sludge, you can pre-treat before the material gets, if you know the source. You can pre-treat, perhaps, upstream from the sewage treatment plant.
Upstream from the sewage treatment. Okay. Okay. What's the difference between doing that and treating the sludge?
A vast difference. In that, let's say, for example, you know the source of cadmium, in this hypothetical example. It will be more concentrated at that location than it will be diluted out in the rest of the material. And by virtue of the higher concentration, more amenable to treatment, if that's appropriate. It may also be possible to modify the process so it's not lost in the first place.
How much of that, this question's probably been asked 100 times by everybody, how much of that pre-treatment before it gets to the sewage treatment plant is done for heavy metals?
The pre-treatment regulations that we currently operate under are aimed specifically at metals. So it's being done increasingly. Municipalities are just now finalizing ordinances for those that don't have them already that will address metals removal, for example, or pretreatment. In fact, there's an expert in the audience, Mr. Ed Lind, who could talk to that specifically if you wish.
I suppose ideally, Mr. Chairman, you would want a sampling done at the entrance to every sewage treatment plant. Are we anywhere close to that?
Mr. Chairman, I would respond this way. In the pretreatment program, most of the ordinances will require that heavy metals generators sample at their individual effluents before they discharge to the treatment facilities. So you monitor at each point of suspected, or each point of regulation in the pretreatment program.
Okay, but that allows people dumping surreptitiously to get around the regulations. What I was wondering is, what if the sampling were done at the entrance to the sewage treatment plant before it entered the sludge, you know, just upstream from the sewage treatment plant? Would you not then?
I would say that would be very, very difficult because in the liquid stream you have more of a transient condition that does not persist for very long, as contrasted to measuring something that may have happened over a period of time will show up in the sludge. To put it another way, if one has been monitoring sludge metals for some time and then a pretreatment program goes into effect for metals upstream that did not previously exist, it follows that you should see an attendant drop in the metals concentration in the sludge over time. If you were to try to monitor the metals in the liquid stream as it entered the treatment plant, you might just as well miss it as not, because it will only persist for a small time in the liquid stream. Am I completely unclear?
Well, not entirely. I suppose, you know, what I'm thinking of in a naive sort of way is if you're right upstream from the facility and sample the what was effluent, what is now influent, into the sewage treatment plant, if you know of suspected sources and if you find that if you can somehow just take a sample out of the influent, just before it enters the sewage treatment plant, and test it for cadmium, and find that, and your result is that your cadmium concentration is much greater than you can account for from known sources, and it would give you a better opportunity to trace down who might be dumping cadmium without permission. And but you're saying that there's no way you can sample the inflow right upstream from the sewage plant.
Yes, you can. But what I am saying is that you would have to do a great deal of sampling to catch the type of event that I believe you're describing.
Because it is transient, and it may come in a
15-minute time interval.
Yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is Tom Jackson here? Mr. Jackson? Jackson, thank you for joining us. I understand you had some experience in this area. Could you just identify yourself for your record?
Yes, I'm Tom Jackson from the Department of Soil Science at Oregon State University. I've been involved in a sewage sludge research project at the North Willamette Experiment Station in cooperation with Dr. Bill Hemphill of the North Willamette Experiment Station, Dr. Van Volk, a soil chemist in the soil department, and some other individuals involved. I've also been involved in monitoring and working with sewage sludge as a as an application for wheat fields in the Willamette Valley, where it may be beneficial in reducing some of the root rot diseases that are a serious problem with the wheat crop in this area.
I wonder if you've probably been listening to the discussion here, and I'm sure my staff's kind of brought you up to speed on what we were looking at here, and I would value your opinion on the status quo on how we deal with the type of regulation it's under, and whether you feel or needs to be some additional provisions.
I'm not familiar, pardon me, I'm not familiar with all of the regulations. I know that in the last few years, the amount of monitoring that has taken place and the regulations on the total amount of heavy metal loading that is allowed has been increased quite significantly. I do know that the city of Portland, which has probably the only significant amount of metal plating and industrial waste that might release some cadmium, have been very diligent in trying to clean up the amount of cadmium going into their sewage treatment plants. I've known and discussed this problem with Dale Nunnemaker, their sanitary engineer, a number of times, because he's been involved directly in keeping up with the field research work that we have underway. So I am aware of this. We, at the present time, we have an experiment that has been going on now for 8 years. We went for 4 years and could not measure a significant increase in the cadmium content of sweet corn leaves when we compared it with just straight commercial fertilizer.
This was a four-year study?
This was a four-year study. So then, at that point, we continued with 4 more years of application and are now analyzing the sweet corn leaves after 8 years of continuous application of sewage sludge. This was applying enough sewage sludge to supply all of the nitrogen for a sweet corn crop and for a wheat crop. Presumably wheat might be, or a grass seed crop, which is not, of course, consumed by humans, might be two of the best crops where you could apply sludge. Wheat is notorious in that it takes up very low amounts of cadmium, and what it does take up has a very low translocation rate to the kernels of the grain.
Did you, now you spoke just to the studies involving the sweet corn. Have you any results from your wheat studies? Or is that just...
Yes, we have wheat studies too.
And
we could not measure any increase in the uptake of cadmium as compared to a standard fertilizer treatment.
Right.
soil acidity, clay content, exchange capacity, all affect the amount of cadmium taken up by plants, and the standards on the amount of cadmium that might be applied to total loading. And I think that this is important, that we shouldn't just say industrial sludge or this sludge should not be used and another sludge should be used. We need to be aware of the total amount of cadmium or heavy metals that we are concerned with that might be applied.
You know, you recall how much cadmium was in the sludge that was applied during that four-year period?
I have a publication here that I could leave with the committee that summarized 3 years of data on sweet corn, and during that period of time, we applied a pound and a half of, we applied a kilogram and a half of cadmium per hectare, which is essentially about a pound and a half of cadmium per hectare, where we had our highest rate of sewage sludge application from the Portland sludge. The amount applied from Salem sludge in the same period of time was 2/10 of a kilogram per hectare.
Hectare, excuse me.
That's about pounds per acre.
A hectare is how many acres?
2 4/10.
So you're talking about 1.6 pounds per 2.4 acres.
Well, that was kilograms.
How many kilograms?
We applied in the total 3 years a kilogram and a half, which is approximately, you multiply times
1.6.
Yeah, to get pounds per acre.
Right.
What is that quickly?
Kilograms per hectare is almost pounds per acre within the areas we're dealing with. I guess I would like to add one comment. When we talk about industrial sludges other than sewage sludge, there are many byproducts that have definite value as far as agricultural amendments. For many years, the acetylene producing industry has a byproduct line that has been used in the Willamette Valley that's never been monitored because all it does is produce a calcium carbonate, calcium hydroxide kind of a product that has been used extensively for liming. At the present time, there is a magnesium metal manufacturing process at Shawila, Washington, and they end up with a product through their fluxing operation where they add some salts to precipitate out some of the impurities, and this just straight comes from a magnesium deposit which could be used directly as a liming material. This product ends up being about a third potassium chloride fertilizer, about 40% magnesium hydroxide, which is a good agricultural product and should be used. We should make use of that kind of a product on agricultural land. Right at the present time, we are engaged in some fairly extensive testing of that product on vegetable crop land and on agricultural corn, wheat, grass seed in the Willamette Valley. So I think it's real important to separate out those industrial sludges. And you could call that, I expect, from the standpoint of technically an industrial sludge, because it is a byproduct of a commercial process.
So, David,
your judgment on something, maybe you said this and I wasn't listening, but it's a pound per acre per year of cadmium. Does that strike you as an awful lot? Or for how many years?
3 years.
3 years.
3 years.
All right. If that is on a soil that has the recommended soil pH value and has a high enough exchange capacity, that would be a relatively low level of total cadmium loading. That level of cadmium applied, even on plots which were quite acid, did not result in an increase in the amount of cadmium in a corn plant that we could detect when we compared it with a standard commercial fertilizer treatment. Okay. Now, I think that we all should be concerned about cadmium. There's no doubt about that. I guess there's nothing good for a biological system that comes from cadmium. But we live in a world where there is cadmium present. And I think we need to monitor what cadmium gets into plants, and especially the green leafy vegetables that are consumed directly. And there are areas in California, in the Salinas Valley, for example, where their production of green leafy vegetables is restricted because the natural levels of cadmium there can result in excessive concentrations.
There's no, Mr. Chairman, there's no nice, clean, easy way to test in-stream for heavy metals, is there? It requires extracting a sample, taking it into a lab.
It's very, well, all right, it is, it can be done. The problem is sampling. After you get a sample, you can analyze it. I think that the committee should probably recognize that one of the limitations on a lot of municipalities in getting reliable cadmium analyses on sludge samples is the fact that there are very few places in the state, commercial laboratories, that can do a good job of analyzing for cadmium. We frequently have municipalities come to us at Oregon State University, and because they know we're working in this process and are analyzing cadmium to check the cadmium content of sewage sludges. And it's very difficult to get reliable where chemists are trained and really know how to handle this. The city of Salem, Unified Sewage Agency, Portland, the larger areas have the kind of laboratory equipment to do this, but most municipalities do not.
Any other questions for Mr. Jackson? Thank you very much, Rick. Can you leave a copy of the document or send one up to us?
Yeah.
Thank you. What I would like to do with this, with 2040, says Senator Hurd sends us our other sludge bill, then I think we'll go ahead and send this one out for the DEQ, and then any language we have will stick into Senator Hendrickson's bill, which is in Fred's committee.
You want to send this out?
No, I want to wait till... I don't want to put any amendments to deal specifically with the sludge portion into this this bill. We have another vehicle.
Okay, you might want to look at, have our staff look at one suggestion. We have a permanent standing committee on energy and land use that meets all during the interim. You may want to have an amendment on there if you grant this authority to DEQ that before they go forth with their management plan, they submit it to the committee for review and approval. That may be one way of getting at the standard.
Okay, we'll close the work session then on 2040. Open the hearing on Senate Bill 478. Excuse me, the work session on 478. We do have some amendments to this bill. Is there someone from the Association for Retarded Citizens here? Aha. Uh-huh.
Are the amendments in a markup, Mr. Chairman? Mr. Chairman, let me ask you, there's a 478 mocked up. Were there amendments made to this bill, or what's the...
Yes, there is our set of amendments.
I'm sorry, that must be a mock-up that they submitted with their amendments.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
That was the amendment as submitted. Are there additional?
No.
Okay.
I meant to say that.
All
I
meant
to
ask. Okay. And we moved the amendments.
Yes. Okay, I just wondered, since I have a trouble keeping all my members here at one time, I wondered if you could just speak briefly to the amendments, and then I'll...
Is one that's marked up?
Yes.
Excuse me just a minute, Mr. Chairman, I can't hear folks, and you're going to have to take your questions outside of this room, because I'm trying to listen to these people, and I can't hear you talking.
You don't have it. Remember?
We will get organized, I swear.
Mr. Chairman, they didn't have LC.
These were all just...
It's LC 478-1.
And we did explain them last time. If you want to go through them again, we can't.
Well, everybody isn't always here every time.
Okay.
My problem.
Go ahead.
Good evening. I'm Therese Deskamp with the Association for Retarded Citizens. The reason why we submitted the proposed amendments was when the bill was drafted, there was some confusion about the definition of a residential facility, and that would overlap with facilities that are defined as residential facilities, and those are facilities that have six or more people. Since we were talking about a smaller home, we decided that it would make more sense to delete the word facility and use the word home. And then the entire last section is not necessary because it doesn't have anything to do with it anymore.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
For the purposes of discussion, I move the amendments dated 478-1, dated 3/23/83-B2.
Okay, I will accept that motion. I do want to give the City of Portland an opportunity to speak before we take any final action.
Could I ask a question? This has to do with the amendment. If we're eliminating Section 3, is there any reason
Section
for legal?
Four.
Sorry, I didn't hear you right.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, it's only Section 4 that's deleted.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hurd?
No, as far as you know, everybody that is involved with residential homes agrees with these amendments and supports the bill. Is that right?
On the our side of the hill.
Oh, that's funny.
On our side of the hill, I love it.
I said supports residential homes.
That's right.
Senator Day has moved the amendments. Is there discussion on his motion? Is there objection?
Could I ask you one question? Let's take the amendments, and then I have one other.
Right. Okay, so we're...
I have a, Mr. Chairman, and help me, maybe some of you, I made some notes on page, or on line 23 and 24. We put commercial purposes, and I have some question there. I'll be darned if I remember whether that we should leave that in, or. But I think that we resolved that it should stay in because what's happened is many of these facilities have been forced into commercial areas, and they had no choice. And I think that was the.
Let me get the City of Portland up here. Maybe they'd be able to speak.
But as I recall, that was some of you heard that, and I can't remember.
Well, we wondered whether that meant a zone for residential or a zone for commercial, or whether it meant
either,
a zone
or either.
For either.
And I think it means either, as I recall. Yeah, we thought it ought to stay in because they'd force these folks into those type of areas. Okay.
Down by the railroad track.
Yeah, that's where we usually have to put them, all right. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm okay on that.
City of Portland,
City of Portland going to support this, I bet, Mr. Chairman.
Well, let's see how that works out.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for giving us an opportunity to respond. We have some comments from three of our various bureaus within the city relative to this bill. I'd like to read into the record comments from two of them, that is Bureau of Planning and the Office of Housing Policy. And I have with me today Al Jamieson, who is our Residential Facilities Coordinator, who would like to explain some of the procedure and so on, and can answer questions for you.
Fine.
For the record, I am Sandy Milius from the City of Portland. From our Planning Bureau, I would like to read some comments that they have made relative to this bill. If the findings contained in Senate Bill 478 are accurate, that is, if it is becoming increasingly difficult to site established residential care facilities that address the needs of the physically or mentally handicapped in communities, and that restrictions on sightings of such facilities has become a statewide problem, then it would be appropriate for the legislature to direct the Land Conservation and Development Commission to add appropriate implementation guidelines to Goal 10, the state's goal on housing, and further, to mandate at the five-year review of local comprehensive plans that comprehensive plans be required to incorporate implementing measures that meet these guidelines. Such an action would accomplish the two primary objectives addressed by this issue. First, it would assure that the issue of provisions for adequately housing for the physically or mentally handicapped is made in local comprehensive plans, while second, it would preserve the local jurisdiction's ability to choose from a variety of implementation measures possible to accomplish this objective. This seems to be a preferable mechanism to the state developing de facto zoning codes and then imposing these codes on local jurisdictions. From our housing policy, folks, I thought
Mr. Chairman, I just regret that the person who wrote that letter isn't here, and I give him a piece of my mind, but you finish reading, and yes. I'll tell you what I think of
all. Mr. Chairman, Senator Day, I share your regret at him not being here today. Yep. He is unfortunately in Seattle, or he would have been here. From our Office of Housing Policy, their comments are, having reviewed proposed Senate Bill 478, we feel that it is premature. The City of Portland, in cooperation with Multnomah County, is a sponsor of a citizens task force looking at ways to improve housing for those with special needs. Their year of work has resulted in a comprehensive report with a number of significant recommendations. These recommendations will be presented to the City Council for action on May 20th.